It is good to see all of you this morning, especially those of you that have not been able to be with us due to surgeries or illness. And I think it's very appropriate, the prayer that was led, that God does answer prayers, and we are appreciative of that. I'm somewhat of a history buff. I like to know some of the goings-on in history. For example, every war has its battle that's the toughest. But movies, documentaries, history, and everything talks about Bastogne in World War II being probably the worst, if not one of the worst, battles that our soldiers have ever faced. At this time when this battle was taking place, the U.S. Army was surrounded by the Germans. They were cut off. The weather was so bad they couldn't drop any supplies into them. The men were having frostbite real bad, and the fog and the snow was so bad that the Germans would fire their howitzers into the trees above them, and the trees would shatter and fall on the men, and sometimes that would kill them. And I can only imagine the fear of being in cold, extreme cold, and also the battle taking place. The enemy would constantly engage you, and at times they were surrounded. They couldn't escape. They couldn't go anywhere. They had no way to retreat without running into the enemy lines. They didn't have a choice but to pick up their weapon and enter the fight. And this scenario would be difficult to understand if you've never been in battle. I've never been in battle. But I have a heartfelt feeling for men that have, especially if they've been in tough, difficult circumstances like that. But unless we have been able to experience something like that, we can't begin to know the feelings that flooded these men, especially when being afraid and wanting to flee. Even though we may choose to envision ourselves as being heroic and fearless, we would likely tremble when faced with combat, just as the very bravest do from time to time. There was a general during the Napoleon era. His name was Marshal Ney. And Napoleon considered him to be the bravest man that he ever knew. One morning they were getting ready to go to battle, and history tells us that he had difficulty getting on his horse. And the reason he had difficulty getting on his horse were his knees were shaking so bad. Well, that's a significant thing when you're afraid. You talk about your knees shaking so bad. And you're terrified. And once he finally mounted his horse, he made the statement, "Shake away, knees. You would shake worse if you knew where I were taking you." He's talking about how bad it's going to be when he gets where he's going. Even though gripped by fear that had him almost too weak himself to mount his horse, history tells us that this seasoned warrior beat back his fear, where he was almost too weak to even get on his horse and enter the fight. Is it any wonder that someone like Napoleon would hold this man in such high regard? With much a fiercer enemy, you and I have a battle today. We have a lot more at stake than losing our lives at a place like Bastogne, or being afraid to mount our horse to go into war. This fear that we have, this battle that we have, this enemy that we fight, is a spiritual battle. And you and I are thrown into the middle of this. If we were shown in this spiritual battle what the enemy has lined up against us, we would really be afraid. I wonder sometimes in battle if we could see in old days. I know now they have the intelligence and everything with those drones and satellites where they look down, the AWACS planes. But I wonder in like Bastogne when they couldn't see because of the fog and the snow, if they could actually know what was on the other side in the enemy's camp, how much more they would be afraid. Well, if you and I actually saw what the devil has set up against us, we might be afraid. Our knees may shake knowing what we were up against. And because of that, we cannot ignore the danger that surrounds us. We're surrounded every day with some type of spiritual battle. And we have to acknowledge our adversary and what he has set up against us, and then equip ourselves for this fight. And sometimes we have to make ourselves have the courage that's needed to overcome. So today we're going to talk about the attitude of courage. So what is courage? If we talk about the definition of courage, a lot of people are going to say, well, it's the lack of being afraid. Well, you would be right to a certain degree. It's actually the ability to face that fear with confidence and with resolve. The American Heritage Dictionary defines it this way: the state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger, fear, or vicissitudes, that is, sudden or unexpected changes, with self-possession, confidence, and resolution. And I like that because there are going to be things that happen in our lives that we don't have any control over. Changes in our lives. It could be our health. It could be our finances. It could be political. It could be any number of things that you don't have any control over. And courage is when you can face those unexpected changes, even though you have fear. In the Old Testament, three words are translated as courage. And they all carry the idea to be strong, to encourage self, to play the man according to Strong's. In the New Testament, the word courage is found only twice. And it's found in one word that translates from two different Greek words. The first one is talmeo, which deals more with the act of courage. An example of that is in Mark 15, verse 43, with Joseph of Arimathea, where he was a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. That's the example of this word courage. The other is theros, which translates the disposition or feeling of courage. We find an example of that in Acts 28 and verse 15. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii, Forum, and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, what these words indicate is that to do courageous deeds, we first have to have an attitude of courage. So I want to suggest to you, no, I want to point out to you that courage is something that we're commanded to have. God commands us to have courage. We read in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, where Paul says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, have courage." Sometimes that's easier said than done. Sometimes it's easier to not be brave, to not have courage, to not be strong, to let someone else take care of whatever it is. But here Paul is using a series of military terms. Be strong. Be brave. Be courageous. And he instructs the Corinthians to be courageous in all of these things. And though all these combined produce courage, the term that zeroes in more pointedly is to be brave that Paul lists there. In the King James and the American Standard, it's worded like this: quit you like men. Step up. Be a man, you might say. You know, and that was given in a time where being manly was not politically incorrect, as it is today. You don't want to be considered being a manly person in today's society. Translators saw fit to equate bravery and courage with being a man in the first century. And the idea is that of contrast to a child or a youth and a man. It talks about maturity. It talks about growing up, being what God intends you to be. Someone who could easily be frightened and cower in the face of danger, a youth or a child. But men are not expected to be that. I mean, in our day and time, even with things being politically incorrect, who is the one that's always turned to when something causes fear in the house? Well, I can tell you that growing up, or coming up in my home and having three women who are the one that they always call on when something scares them. I remember the last house we lived in, it had an upstairs. Before Haley went to college, right before she went to college, she would holler at me, "Daddy, there's a spider up here." I said, "Well, kill it." "Well, you know that don't work." And I went upstairs and I killed it. And I said, "Now, what are you going to do when you move off to Murfreesboro and live in this apartment?" I said, "I'm not driving 30 miles to come kill a spider that you find. You're going to have to man up. You're going to have courage. You're going to have to be brave." But here it is. That's what it's talking about. And it hasn't been that many years ago when men in our society could hear the phrase, "be a man." You look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 again, and the World English Bible reads this way: "Watch, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." And the Revised Standard Version reads this way: "Be watchful, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong." We are commanded to have courage when things confront us, when things surprise us. You know, sometimes you go to the doctor and he says, "Well, you got this." And you go, "What? I didn't know. I didn't have any idea I was having this kind of issue." And it could be easily something to make us afraid. So it's commanded. There are times in the spiritual world that we are confronted with things that might catch us off guard. And we have to have courage to confront those things. So there is a need for courage in the life of a child of God. And since we are in a spiritual battle with our enemy, the devil, we have to constantly be on the alert and filled with courage. But there are times when courage is needed. I want to suggest to you that there are times that we have to step up. And it seems that no one is willing to step forward in a lot of cases. Go back to the Old Testament and consider the story of David and Goliath. David is sent out with his father's blessing with supplies to feed his brothers who are in battle against the Philistines. And when he gets there, they're not fighting. There's no war taking place. They're all separated into enemy lines. And David's kind of shocked. "Well, what's going on?" "Oh man, there's a giant on the other side. The Philistines have brought in a giant. He comes out and he threatens us every day. He blasphemes God." David says, "Why haven't you killed him yet?" "We're afraid. Nobody wants to go up against a giant, David. No one was stepping forward. No one had the courage." That is, until little David came on the scene. I say little because he was the youngest of the brothers, and he was just the shepherd boy. And you might look at him as being scrawny and all like this compared to the soldiers of the day, but David had courage. He told him, he says, "I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear," and he acknowledged God's help. "I've done this, I have courage. You have no right as an enemy of God, to blaspheme God and to threaten God's children. And you know the story. He went out with nothing more than his sling and a stone and killed Goliath. Took his sword and took Goliath's sword and cut his head off. Courage against the enemies of God. Another example is found in Ezekiel 22. Here Ezekiel describes the decadence of the Israelites, how bad they were, including the people, the priests, and the prophets. In chapter 22 and verse 30, he says, God says here, I sought for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the breach or the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. God says, but I didn't find anyone. I found none. Israel had spiraled into moral decline. And God says here, no one was found to stand, and he admonished them for it. No one possessed that fortitude to stand in the breach or the gap. No one had the courage. And God says here, I sought for a man. I wanted someone to step up. He would have stood by that person and carried them if they would only have had the courage or the fortitude to step up. But no one there would step up. All one had to do was step forward, and God would be with them. And stand, that is, for what was right. But no one would step forward because of the spiritual and the moral decline in the nation of Israel. No one had the courage or the desire to step forward for God. But you know, there are times that we need to step forward. There are times in our life that we need to step up, that we need to be a man. But it's because of our lack of courage that we also fail. Maybe it's when men are being considered for an elder or a deacon, and we know some sin or shortcoming in their life that would disqualify them, but we're afraid to go confront that person. That's one of the most important times that you need to confront that person. Maybe it's when I've got someone that I know here that's in sin, or when error is being taught, or when gossip maybe is being spoken, or when we have an opportunity to speak to someone who has lost, and I'd rather someone else go take care of it. I need courage. We all need an attitude of courage to step up, to stand in the breach, to stand in the gap and do what God says. God's going to be with you. But all these require courage. All these four examples, these three examples here. Selection of elders and deacons when someone's in sin, errors being taught or gossip. It takes courage to confront error. And so often the Lord is looking for someone who is lost to step up, to fill this gap. When we see someone that's lost or in sin, but we don't do it. We're like David's brothers when the Philistines sent the giant Goliath out. We're afraid. The solution is not to accept defeat, but to develop an attitude of courage. So how do we do that? How do we develop courage? Well, it begins with a basic knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. A knowledge of the Scriptures in general is a good place to start. That knowledge is essential to the basics of discerning what is good and evil, right and wrong. And it takes us knowing what God's Word says to begin to build that courage. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's Word." They should have been growing. Maybe they were afraid. Maybe they didn't want to grow. They thought, well, I've done enough. I've been baptized. And to go out and teach something, I just can't do that. Have you ever heard anyone say that? I can't teach anyone else. Have you ever made that statement? Well, I'm not a teacher. I can't teach someone else. For though by this time, in their spiritual growth, you ought to be teachers. He says you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's Word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is like a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good and evil, right and wrong. Knowing whether a thing is right or wrong is crucial to being able to defend it. If I don't know, then how can I defend it? And when we're convicted of God's will on any subject, then we're going to see the need to stand up for it. And we'll also be encouraged to stand when we realize that God is going to stand for us. But I want to offer a word of caution. We need to never equate arrogance and harshness with courage. Courage is finding and doing what needs to be done in a godly way. Arrogance is just the opposite. Arrogance and harshness is doing what needs to be done, but with a disregard for others and a disregard for God's Word. And it's more of a focus of our own desires. So we need to grow. We need to develop courage. And I want to suggest to you that we need to practice courage at all times. Not just when we think we see a problem, but we need to be brave all the time. It's not like you getting ready to go mow the yard and you've got a certain pair of shoes that you put on so that you don't tear up or soil your other good shoes. My grandfather, Ollie Smith, had two pair of overalls that he used to wear. He had one pair that he would wear when he was working on the farm. And he had one good pair that he wore to church. He'd swap them out. And I'm afraid sometimes that when it comes to serving the Lord, we change our clothes, if you will. We put on a different set of clothing when we come here to worship the Lord. And when we leave here and we go home and go out into the world, we put on a separate set of clothing. And I'm not talking about the physical clothing. I'm talking about our spiritual clothing. To where we don't look like Christians so much, but we look more like the people of the world. Like Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 2, not being transformed, but being conformed. We want to be conformed sometimes because we don't want courage. We don't want to be brave. And there are times that we are called upon to be courageous. And there's a lot of those times. And I want to suggest to you that when we step up and people, Christians and others alike, witness our courageous act, then oftentimes we are encouraged and we are commended. But you don't do it because your brothers and sisters are going to pat you on the back and say, way to go. You do it because that's what God commands you to do. And this is going to go a long way in motivating us to be courageous the next time. And the next time, and the time after that. But we are called on to be courageous when no one's watching. Just like we talked about this morning, about being giving people, doing good deeds. You don't do it so that people can pat you on the back. You do it because it needs to be done. You don't walk around advertising. You don't walk around advertising your good deeds. You don't walk around advertising your courage. When I went and spoke to so-and-so, I went and I withstood Peter to the face. We don't do it for that reason. We do it a lot of times to save a soul. We do it a lot of times to build the church. We do it a lot of times to save the lost. You know, we might be like Marshall Knee. And have to say, shake away knees, you would shake worse if you knew where I was about to tell where I'm going to take you. But don't forget, God is our helper. You want courage. You know, we oftentimes talk about praying for wisdom and knowledge. How about we pray for courage? The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 13, verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, see, that's the big thing. We put more emphasis on that question. What can man do to me? Well, let me see. Let me count the ways of how man can belittle me, how man can besmirch me, how he can put my name in the mud, and I just can't do it, even though the Lord is my helper. And he gives me courage. And he does that because we're his children. He's our Father. And with him, there's not anything that we can't overcome. In 1 John 4 and verse 4, we learn that he is greater than he who is in the world, that is the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul speaks here, beginning in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We need to be willing to stand. We have a great reason to be afraid. As the second half of the book of Daniel points out, there is a spiritual battle for our souls. We have a right to be afraid. But God commands courage. The devil is seeking to devour us. He's seeking to destroy us. We have a right to be afraid. We have a reason to be concerned. He is the most powerful thing on this earth that can destroy us, the devil. And he is the most powerful and most wicked of all the spiritual beings. But for the same reasons, we have a great need of courage, because we know who our enemy is. We know what he has set up against us. Courage to go stand for what is right, maybe when no one else will. Courage to speak. Courage to teach. Courage to discipline. Courage to deny the devil's temptations, and courage to resist the evil one in all his assaults. And we do so. And as we do so, we will find comfort and gain strength in knowing that God is well pleased. And we will stand with his help. So let us put our trust in God. Let us grow in his knowledge and understanding of his word. As we closed out our series on the radio program this morning, the last passage there from 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's a command. And if and when we grow in that grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're going to strengthen ourselves. We're going to be strong. We'll have courage. And we will step up when the time is needed. Now, granted, we may tremble with fear. And we may do so because our adversary is the devil. And as we made mention of in Bible class this morning from 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, the three avenues of temptation, we live in the devil's realm. We sing the song sometimes, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." The devil seems to be in charge when you look at our society, when you look at our morals, when you look at sin. And we need courage. We need courage as children of God to live in this old world. It may be that you're here this morning and you've lacked the courage to put Christ on in baptism, to become a follower of Jesus Christ. This is an opportunity for you to have that courage to step out into the middle aisle and make your way to the front so that we can baptize you for the remission of your sins. It may be that you've done that. And you're like the one that God was looking for in Ezekiel 33, someone to step up, to stand in the gap or stand in the breach. But you've lost your courage. This is an opportunity. If you are lacking in your courage, maybe it's sin in your life, Maybe you find yourself just weak in serving the Lord. If you are here and you need courage to confess your sins and repent of those sins, now is the time to make your way down from the center aisle to the front pew, and we'll pray with you and for you. But it may be that you've not committed any sin, but you need prayers for courage. We can accommodate that as well. So if you're here this morning and you find yourself in need of responding to the invitation, I pray that you'll make your way to the front.